I want to go to we've been looking at in this, well, we're going to actually go back to Hebrews chapter number 4, and we're going to look again at where we've been for the last two services. I can't get past it, not trying to, but I just seem like I got an unction again to get back in talking about the compassion and the mercy of God. I'm telling you, the more I study it, the more I realize how wonderful it is. So we're going to look in Hebrews chapter number 4, and we're going to look at verse number 15. Well, let's start in verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest, of course this is Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us sit around and complain about all our problems. No, let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith. Our profession of faith. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Let's take the knots out. We have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The feeling of our infirmities, actually the word feeling of, or actually the word touched with the feeling of in the Greek is the word for compassion, which is the same Greek word translated mercy. How many of you know God's a merciful God? We were here on Wednesday night and we looked at a couple of verses that talks about God's mercies, plural. There's more than one kind of mercy from God. There's mercy for all different areas. But he said, we have not a high priest, or let's just say we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he's compassionate on us in our infirmities. Infirmities means weaknesses, not just sickness or disease. It's talking about weaknesses of character, you know, areas that we tend to stumble in, or, you know, oops, you know, there I did it again. Flew off the handle again, got angry again, or whatever, you know. And he said he has compassion on us in those situations. Aren't you glad he doesn't, his first thought is not judgment. His first thought is mercy. We looked at Psalm 145 on Wednesday night, and it talks about, I gotta turn to it. I don't know. You gotta see it if you weren't here on Wednesday night. It's one of my favorite Old Testament verses. We'll just start in Psalm chapter number 145, verse number 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. That's what I meant when I said his first thought is not anger and judgment. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Well, all his works means all his works, all creation, but also I am and you are the workman. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Other translations say we're his handiwork. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're some piece of handiwork. I'll tell you that. Amen. We're created in the image of God. So he said here in Hebrews now, back in verse number 15, Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points, yet like as we are, yet without sin. So that's a verse, and there are several other places, Hebrews 2, Hebrews, a couple of different places, talks about that the reason that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities is because he's been here in the flesh. He knows what it's like to be enticed to sin, to want to give up, to not want to. Remember Jesus going to the cross, didn't want to go to, his flesh didn't want to go to the cross. He had to consecrate himself to do that. And so he's touched with our feeling of our infirmities because he's been here. Let us therefore, verse 16 says, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So whenever we, since he is compassionate, that's what we're going to obtain when we go to his throne of grace. I mean, if you understood you were going to get mercy and get compassion, you wouldn't have run away from God. You'd have run to him. But the devil lies and said, you know, God's mad at you, you know. You know, there'd be a whole lot more people in church on Sunday mornings if they just knew God was merciful and not mad at them. Just because they flew off the handle again or whatever. The devil tries to distort the image of God in our inner consciousness. He lies and he accuses us and said, God doesn't love you because of this or that. Remember Revelation 11 verse 12, I guess it is. It talks about Satan is the accuser of the brethren in the verse before. And he accuses us before our God night and day. And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We got to be talking about what the blood did for us. Because the devil's there to say, yeah, you failed, you know. And we can say, yeah, and I got that under the blood.
Yeah.
And, oh, we're going to look at the blood today. Ah, so because of that, I got to keep moving. Lamentation 3:21, if you've never looked at that verse, just write that down. Lamentation 3:21, it says, because of his mercies, we are not consumed. We'd be crispy critters if it wasn't for the mercy of God. Because of his mercies, we're not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. Whoa. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Glory to God. In other words, he's faithful with mercy. Amen. So we've been talking about, actually, I started talking about compassion, but really it's a teaching on mercy because it's all the same thing. You know, compassion means to be to show tender mercies, if you look it up. Just show tender mercies. And tender implies not hard-hearted, angry, judgmental, critical, fault-finding, but compassionate.
Yes. Yeah.
Tender. That's what you're going to, when you come to God, that's who he is. That's his character. That's his nature. If you look over in the Old Testament, which we're going to do some today, you'll find that over and over again, they would say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endure forever. Notice his mercy is his goodness. That's his character. That's his disposition. Remember it said there, the Lord is gracious. In Psalm 145, that means he's disposed or inclined to show favors. In other words, he's already leaning that way. He's already leaning that way. And when you come and you say, be merciful, he said, I was inclined toward that anyway. I want to show you mercy to you. I want to give you another chance. You can do it. I know I have great confidence in you. Oh, man, he puts up with so much. When he could say, that's it, I'm done. Just jerk the rope around all our necks. But he's not. He's merciful. Amen. I don't mean there doesn't come a time sometimes where God said, I can't protect them anymore in disobedience because then I'd be violating my own word. But you know, sometimes we get mercy. We would have gotten judgment, but somebody got in their prayer closet and said, oh, God, be merciful to them. They just don't see it. They just don't realize it. Be merciful. And God said, okay, because you asked me. Because you asked me. Because he's inclined. There's the law of sowing and reaping. We keep sowing, we're going to reap. But somebody asked, he said, okay, we'll push this off for longer. Remember in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about Solomon. I'll not take my mercy from him. Like if he sins, I'll not take my mercy from him like I did Saul. And one of the things that happened was the judgment because of Solomon's sin did not fall in Solomon's day. In other words, it was pushed off. That's mercy. Well, anyway, and so I like that verse in Lamentations. If you've never read that, you got to put that on your refrigerator. God's a very merciful God. One of the reasons I believe we're talking about this is because this is going to be a big part of this era of this harvesting of the souls of the earth before Jesus comes back. And we're going to see demonstrations of mercy that's going to make us hit the floor and our knees weeping saying, God, you are merciful. God, you are merciful. God, you are so good. You are good and your mercies endure forever. People that we thought should have been, you know, judged, that here they are standing in church clean because of the blood. They turned and God was merciful. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be such a key, and it's such a key to the move of the Spirit. And we'll get into that eventually. I intended to get into that the first service. I haven't even got to it yet. Praise the Lord. So, you know, there's something that happens when you magnify the mercies of God. We read it on last Sunday, I believe it was, in 2 Chronicles 5:13. The trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound. 1 Chronicles 5:13. They made one sound, praising, thanking the Lord, and said, "For the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever." They just kept saying that. And the whole house was filled with the cloud. Whole house was filled with the cloud. God likes to demonstrate his mercies. Amen. And then in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, and on down through, whenever they dedicated Solomon's temple, this is whenever they went to battle, and there were three armies. Excuse me, I'm thinking of the wrong verse. There was three armies that came against Israel, and there's no way out of this situation. No way out. I mean, three against one. I mean, really, there was more than three against one of their soldiers. And so they came to the Lord and sought God, and the Spirit of God came upon a man, said, "Set yourself, stand ye still. You'll not need to fight in this battle." And remember that? He said, "I'm going to fight this battle for you," in other words. And so they basically said, "What are we going to do?" And they said, "We're going to put the singers out front, and here's what they're going to say. They're going to go into battle saying, 'For the Lord is good, and his mercies endure.'" Listen, in this situation, you need mercy. There's no other way out. Anybody ever been in a spot where there's no other way out? And sometimes it was our own doing. Amen. We just weren't careful. You know what I'm talking about? We just yielded to the flesh, gave place to the devil or whatever. Didn't seek God about that decision. And listen, we need some help. And it's not because we've been a goody-goody two-shoes. Just because we messed up. And we're in an impossible situation because of it. There's a way out. There's a way out. Throw yourself on God's mercies. So here they are in an impossible situation, and they started saying, "The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures." And they kept on saying it, kept on saying it. And the Bible said, as they began... They didn't finish. As they when they began to sing praises, saying, "For the Lord is good," that God stepped in and said, "All right, I'll interrupt this song service." And the power fell in the enemy's camp, and they got scared of one another, started killing off one another. And it took them 3 days to gather up the spoil. Wow. The Lord got in the middle of their fight. Because they said, "The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever." There must be something about you talking about his mercy and you praising him for his mercy that he likes. He gets up in the big middle of it. Yeah, I'm going to show myself to be merciful. What a display of God's goodness to, because of our mistakes, we're in an impossible situation, and we throw ourselves on the mercies of God and start declaring, "Yeah, but God, you're merciful. But God, you're merciful." And God said, "Here's an opportunity for me to show off to everybody who sees it how good I am." And it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And so he shows up and shows out. Because there's a lot of people don't know him in that way. And he wants to demonstrate himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, there's a lot of fights you don't need to fight. You don't need, listen, you get involved in fights that you don't need to fight. If you'll throw yourself on the mercy of God, God will go to fighting that battle for you. Get in the middle of that fight. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things you don't need to get in. Just say, "Be merciful, be merciful." Listen, I'm not talking about an insincere heart. Just get me a bailout, you know, in your heart. You just, "I want to bail out so I can get back. I can do my own thing again." He'll bail you out, but you'll keep getting back into it. You know. But, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you go down to verse 26 in that passage, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 26, I didn't really have you turn there, but you can see that in verse 26, after they gathered up the spoil, they called the name of that place Baraka or something like that, and that means the place of blessing, the place of blessing. So what looked like was going to be a place of slaughter, a place of disaster, a place of our undoing, a place where we're done. Because we called on the mercy of God, became the place of our blessing. And he delights in showing mercy and showing out and blessing people who do not deserve it. Somebody said, I wonder who that is. Look in the mirror. Amen. He delights in it. He loves to do it. Hallelujah. Look like a place of disaster, but you can point back and say, look at that place right there. See that place right there? That's where I got blessed, right there. It was the place of my stupidity, but I said, be merciful, and he was merciful, and I got blessed right in the middle of it.
Amen. Amen. Yes,
sir. I'm just reading that story to you. That's the Bible. Yes. Tell your neighbor, that's good preaching. Now go to Ephesians chapter number 2. You say, well, that's just Old Testament people. Well, let's go over to the New Testament then. Ephesians chapter number 2, it says in verse number 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So now he's talking about you and me. We read the Old Testament, now we're in the in and you. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now works in the children of among the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, whereby nature of the children of wrath, even as others. Listen, the nature that we had, the way we lived, was offensive to God. Offensive to God. You might say, well, I wasn't that bad. Listen, all of it is offensive to God. Yeah. Little white lies, offensive to God. Yeah. Amen. It's repulsive to him. Remember when all our sin was put on Jesus on the cross, the Bible said God turned away and couldn't look at it. Remember that? And so it says this is who we were. And we were the children of wrath, even as others. But verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, wait a minute. He's talking about us. He's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved. Notice he put together his love with his mercy. That this is a flow. His love is, his mercy is a flow of his love. Really, it's a flow of his love. And we say compassion, but compassion and mercy and love, that's all the same thing. You might say, I love people. You might say you love somebody, but mercy is a demonstration of being loving. Okay. But God, who is rich in mercy, notice not just, he doesn't just have a little bit down in his shoe. He's rich in mercy. We know he's rich in he's got golden streets. He's got riches untold. We can't imagine in this planet. He's got riches untold. But here it says he's rich in something else. He's not just a little bit merciful. He's rich in mercy. Loaded. He's doing all right in the mercy department. He's rich in it. Amen? So rich that he raised us up together. When we were, verse number, notice here again, verse number 6, or no, let's go back to verse 4, who was rich in mercy for his great little love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places, far above, and so forth and so on. Well, think about it. Here you are, offensive to God, all of us, offensive to God, in sin, repulsive to him. And he said that he took the blood of Jesus and applied it to your situation and said, I'm going to show mercy towards them. If they'll come and receive it, I'll raise them up with me and sit them with me in heavenly places. Do you deserve that? That was awfully quiet. Yeah, I'll answer that for you. No. But you didn't get what you deserve. You got what you called for. And you said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the blood of Jesus cleansed you, made you a new creation, and God made you in his image and seated you with him in authority over all the forces that used to bind you, and authority over sin, the world, Satan, the flesh, all that used to bind you. And now he said, you're one with me. Why? Because of his great mercy. great mercy. It's a mercy to me that I'm not still under the power of Satan. It's a great mercy to me that I now can say in the name of Jesus and stop what Satan has been used to be doing in my life. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, there needs to be such demonstrations of the mercy of God in your life that there's always constantly someone surprised that God blessed you with something that you didn't qualify. In their mind, you didn't qualify for. All the Pharisees should be sitting around going, well, they missed it over here and they missed it over here. And you go, yeah, and I said, be merciful to me, a sinner. You just need to live in such a way you're constantly dependent on God's mercy. Amen. I'm not making, you know, somebody say, well, you're giving people a license to sin. I've been pastoring for 17 years, and I've discovered they'll do it without a license. They won't wait on that. Have you ever done it without a license? Nobody said, go ahead. Nobody said, go ahead. But you went and did it anyway. Don't act to me all sanctimonious. We've all done it. I don't like the spirit that came in on that one. Some of you are looking at me like, not me, Pastor. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. You're looking all sanctimonious, but we'll talk about you in a bit. Anyway, hallelujah. I said, you and I need to live constantly in a way where we got blessings in our life that people are surprised at because they think they don't deserve that. Listen, there ain't none, I know it's bad English, sorry, Ms. Weiser, but there ain't none of us that are getting what we deserve. We deserve to be totally defeated, completely in bondage, in failing in every area of life. Isn't that right? Totally, oppressed, demonized, and beat up, broke, busted, and disgusted on our way to hell. That's what we deserve. Why aren't we going there? His mercy. He's merciful. I'm going to preach this until some of us go, oh. Well, I deserve the blessings of God. Only because you're now in Christ, but you couldn't have got into Christ without him being merciful to you. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in James 2, 12 through 13, that mercy rejoices against judgment. There's a couple of meanings of that, and I'm only going to give you one of them. I know there's another way of looking at this. But one of the ways you could look at that is if you really understand the mercy of God, is that when you do understand the mercies of God, you rejoice in the fact that what would have been your place of failure is now your place of blessing because of the mercies of God. Mercy triumphed, listen, over judgment. There's another way of looking at that, but this is a way that I hadn't seen before. What should have been your place of judgment, which made you to fail, what would have made you fail, now is because of his mercy, you're rejoicing in a great blessing. And people, they get all like, they don't deserve that. And you're like, right. Amen. Here's what you need to learn to do. Be a good receiver. Remember the prodigal son? He came back. He said, I'm not worthy. I'll just be a servant. You know, he had a speech ready. But the father stopped him in the middle of his speech, if you read it, and said, no, kill the fatted calf. Clean him up. I'm going to restore his inheritance to him. And you know what he did? He said, thank you, Daddy. Thank you. I received that. And he walked in blessed. He didn't deserve that. Scoundrel. He was down there wasting his father's living. But that was mercy. And notice he didn't argue and say, I don't deserve that. Shut up. Shut up about what you deserve. You don't want what you deserve. When he says, I want to show mercy, you say, Father, thank you. I've come for some mercy. I need mercy. And I was a kid. When I was a kid, God used this situation. When I was a kid, my dad was a farmer. And that meant we were farmers. Yeah, that meant we worked. You know, kids today sometimes, not all of them. There's good kids know how to work, but some of them don't know how to work. They know how to play video games. We grew up working, and so we milked cows twice a day, every day, all the days of my younger, you know, when I got to a certain age, all till I left for Rhema. And I vowed, Lord, if I'd obey God if I never had to milk another cow the rest of my life. And God said, deal. I said, we're on. So I said, the interesting thing, I had bad dreams about milking cows for years. I did. I had to start taking authority over it. I'm not making that up. I did. I had bad dreams about milking cows. Oh, Lord, I got to do this again. Anyway. But, twice a day, a couple of hours, that's 4 or 5 hours a day milking cows. And if you've ever done it, you know that. Anyway, don't do that. You're taking time away from me. We sold the milk, of course. That was the farm. That was the profit. That's where one of the ways of income for the farm. And it was important that the milk was sold clean. And one of the ways to keep it clean, you had to, because cows would get a disease called mastitis, and you had to put penicillin, antibiotics in them. So whenever they were on antibiotics, you couldn't put that cow's milk in the milk tank because it would contaminate the whole milk tank. And that milk tank was, 4 or 5 days of milk, I think. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was 4 or 5 days of milk that was building up in the milk tank. We kept it cool in there and so forth and so on. So anyway, you couldn't let that, so we marked the cows different ways. We marked them so that whenever we got to that one, we had to put that milk in a different place. Well, every now and then, somebody would mess up and you'd have to throw away the whole milk tank. And that's not something you want to be doing. Because there's money down the drain. I mean, you open the spigot and it goes down the drain. That's all you can do. And one day I did that. I messed up. I milked the cow with antibiotics in her right into the tank and didn't even realize I was doing it until later. And the milkman came and tested it because they tested it before they would put it into their truck and haul it off. And it had antibiotics in it. We traced it back to moi. I did it. I feared facing Dad. I mean, I'm scared. I wasn't sure what he was going to say or do. And so finally, I had to go to him and told him what happened, and it was me. And he showed mercy on me and was compassionate. He wasn't happy, but, he didn't do what I thought maybe he could do. And I went away from there weeping, and God used that to show me. And God started talking to me as a little kid. I was probably only, I'm guessing, maybe 12 years old. And he used that to show me what, in later years, he talked to me about it. He talked to me about it then, but in later years, I understood it better, about how God is. He's merciful. I didn't do that because I just wanted to. I just messed up. Anybody ever messed up? Yeah. Amen. And he showed me mercy, and I thought, and God started talking to me. He said, that's the way I am with you. I wept and wept and wept. Amen. Kids especially that didn't want to do wrong, let me just give you a little parenting advice here. Whenever they just messed up, just because they're not developed fully yet, and they didn't want to do wrong, it was a mistake, you ought to be real careful about how you deal with them. Because they're getting beat up on the inside enough. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. They didn't want to do wrong. They just messed up. I'm not saying there maybe shouldn't be some consequences, but do it in mercy. Amen. Because we can tell them all the stories about how when you were a kid, you messed up. Yeah, anyway. Hallelujah. So go to Luke 18 and look with me at a passage of Scripture that is just going to blow your theology up, hopefully. Luke 18, let's start in verse number 9. Luke's Gospel, 18th chapter, verse number 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. If you know anything about Bible lingo, you know a publican is just a sinner. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I underlined that because I always thought that was funny. I think God's got a sense of humor. God's not anywhere close to this guy. He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I is often mentioned in here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus, now here's the point, verse 14. I tell you, this is Jesus, this is red. I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified. That's the word for righteous. Rather than the other, for every one that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now that turns most of America's theology on its head. Here's the Pharisee. He's an upstanding member of the community. You know what I'm talking about? You know, tell me I'm preaching all right. The Pharisee is doing everything right, as far as everybody can tell. Isn't that right? He's an upstanding member of the community. The other one's a publican. And as far as you can tell, he's not doing anything right. In fact, it's obvious he's doing a lot of stuff wrong. He's a sinner. He's a publican. He's the kind of guy, listen, hey, I don't care what people think. I'm just going to live the way I want to live. Up here, I'm preaching up here. They're just going, Pastor Debbie's going to the airport. So all those curious seekers, now you know what's going on, and now you can turn back up here. Hello. Don't miss. This is the big point of the sermon. And so yet he's the one that leaves his prayer declared righteous. Why? Because he called on God to be merciful. Now that'll make self-righteous people mad right there. Amen. It looks like in the Gospels, you read through the Gospels, it looks like Jesus dislikes self-righteousness more than he dislikes unrighteousness. I mean, he scathed the Pharisees. He laid into them. And the only reason is because they were self-righteous. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The further you go in God, the more you're going to have to guard against self-righteousness and a Pharisaical spirit, or however you want to say that. The more you go, come on, I'm going to bust up some of you self-righteous thinking today. The more you grow in God, you're going to have to guard against this. Brother Hagin made the statement, I'm going to paraphrase, he said, it seems like that when people first come into the church, that it's easier for them to get healed than others that have been in the church maybe 25 or 30 years, he said, and it seems like after so much time, it seems like it's harder for them to get healed. You might say, well, why would that be? I'll tell you exactly why it is. I believe this is one of the reasons why. There's other reasons, I believe. But one of the reasons, I believe, is in the beginning when they first came basically with the mindset of that old song. I don't know if you've ever, we used to sing this in the denominational church. I only have one plea, that is that thy blood was shed for me. Whenever people first come, that's the only plea they have. They don't have anything else to plead. Some of you are thinking about it. But after they've been in the church for 30 years, They come bragging on themselves rather than bragging on the blood. I tithe. Somebody said, shouldn't we tithe? Yes. But there's a lot of things you're just going to have to just say, the only reason I'm blessed is not because of I. It's because of His mercy. His mercy. Oh, I can tell that doesn't sit right with some of you. I'm not saying that you can't stand on the word and say, Father, I've been obedient. But you have to say, but listen, because the only reason that I can have any of your blessings is that the blood was shed to redeem me and put me in this place where I can walk in this blessing. Well, that's kind of, you know, some of you are kind of thinking about it. You need to just keep on saying after 20 years, 30 years, keep on saying it's your mercy and what the blood of Jesus has done for me, not what I've done. Just stay in a place, amen, where you don't develop a Pharisaical attitude. There's hope for all of us. Tell your neighbor, there's hope for all of us. Hallelujah. A righteous, self-righteous attitude. Amen. If you do, you won't receive the blessings of God. How did the glory fall in 1 Chronicles 5? How did the glory fall in 1 Chronicles, or is it 2 Chronicles 20? The Lord is good, and His mercy endures. We come to get mercy in this situation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's how the glory fell. I said, that's how the glory fell. People are trying to get blessed and receive from God on a totally wrong basis. Our faith is in the blood and in His mercies. Listen, as much as we are seeking to be doers of the word in all areas that we know, there's just some things we just still haven't got right yet. God, I claim I come for mercy. Amen. I'm going to preach it. Some of these over here don't like it. Because we're messing with their self-righteousness. I didn't preach it. Jesus preached it here in Luke chapter number 18. Amen. When you understand that that's the way God thinks, when you understand that He's a merciful God, then you're going to just totally depend on His mercies, not all the things you've done. Amen. I'm not saying it's wrong to do the word. We are to be doers of the word, walking all the light we have. But then whenever we trip up, do we just say, well, I've failed again and I'm going to have to do without? No. Father, be merciful to me. And He's merciful because He knows you keep on coming at it. Hallelujah. 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 Go to Mark 10, verse number 46. Is this getting bigger in you like it's getting bigger in me? There's been plenty of times, even in more recent times, I've just gone to Him and said, God, be merciful. Be merciful. Be merciful. Here it is. Here it is, a situation that I messed up in. I'm not talking about immorality, you know. I'm talking about, you know, just not knowing. Well, some things I did know. And I get bailouts. Amen. And I'm not ashamed of it. And only self-righteous people in here today are looking down their nose at me. Because they know, in their heart of hearts, they know there's just a lot of situations, that's the way it's going to be with them too. As much as we stress preaching the word and doing the word, yet right on the other hand, ain't none of us perfect at it. What are we going to do? Live without? Because? No, we can say, Lord, You are good, and Your mercy endures. We're going to get to some more. Okay. All right. Mark 10. Look at verse number 46. Actually, just write down 46 through 52. This is the story of blind Bartimaeus. When he heard it was Jesus, verse 47, he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Look at that. And then they charged him not to say that, you know, hold your peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And he casting, look at verse number 49, Jesus stood still. Stopped Jesus in His tracks. He's on His way and He hears, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
Call that man. Where is that man? Call that man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What stopped Jesus in his tracks? Somebody was appealing to the merciful heart of God. And Jesus knew my Father delights in mercy. He didn't sit, he's not sitting over there, I'm a tither, I do this and I do that, and I'm in helps ministry. Those are all good, and we need to be faithful. How many of you know? But there are just some things you don't get because of that. You just get it because God's merciful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm messing with your self-righteousness, but I wanted to. On purpose. Jesus said, and then you know the story here, stopped Jesus in his tracks there in verse number 49. They called the blind man. They changed their tune, of course. Be of good comfort, call rise, he calls for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered, said, I was going to say something, that's why I stopped. Jesus answered, said, what wilt thou I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Notice he had faith. This man had faith. Jesus said it was his faith that made him whole. Well, here's a question. What did he have faith in? You know what he was basing it on by what he said. He said, be merciful. He had faith in the mercies of God. Do you have faith in the mercies of God? You need to develop faith in the mercies of God. When you mess up and you know it, sometimes you don't know it. Even if you don't know it, Lord, be merciful. Help me out here. Help me out here. If you got faith to call on the mercies of God, you'll get way down the tracks, way beyond people who always talking about what they've done, what they've not done, how I didn't do this, and I wasn't supposed to do that, so I didn't do that, and I did this because I'm supposed to do that. You'll get way down the tracks. Come on, somebody shout amen. You got to learn to call out for mercy. And have confidence that God is a merciful, compassionate God. Hallelujah. And there must be more in the mercies of God than just forgiveness. Because he called on God for mercy and got healing. So there must be healing in the mercies of God. Amen. Do you have faith enough not to just sit there and stew in your failure and in your bondage and in your past and not to just sit there and rot, you know what I mean, in that and just become a pickled nothing? Do you have faith to rise up and when other people say, you know, just be quiet, you've messed up, you just sit there and you say, you've messed up. You got enough faith to say, you hush. Jesus! Jesus, be merciful, be merciful, be merciful. Do you got the faith? I said, do you got the faith? You need to develop it. You need to stand before him and say, be merciful. Do you got, when other people are saying, be quiet, you got enough faith to tell them to be quiet? Huh? Come on. Do you got enough faith to say, I believe? No, I don't care what you say. I believe God is merciful. I believe God is merciful. There's more in his mercies than just forgiveness. There's healing. There's blessing. And things you don't deserve. People get all, the self-righteous sit there with their noses up saying, you don't deserve that. And you just go, he's merciful. Look at his mercy. Look at his mercy. And you can have it too, you self-righteous pig. Amen. I said there's healing in the mercies of God. Amen. Everybody else and everyone else might say, you're disqualified. But when you understand the merciful heart of God, amen, and you have faith in his mercies, no matter Who tries to say you don't qualify? They're not the judge. No matter what's going on, no matter what you're going through, what you're facing, if you understand the mercies of God, you won't run from God, you'll run to Him. You'll run to Him. Amen. And nothing will make the Pharisees madder than you being blessed when they think you don't qualify and you say, He's merciful. That's why I got it. Because I have faith in a merciful, compassionate God. Somebody said, I've messed up so many times. Listen, mercy's not for people that have got it all together. Mercy's for people that have messed up. Amen. If you never mess up, you could get by on justice. But there ain't a one of us, that can get by on justice. Amen. Amen. So what Jesus called this man's faith, what his faith was in the mercy of God. Listen, don't be denied just because you messed up when you miss it. Put your faith in the blood of Jesus. And when the blood has been applied, you'll not be denied. The devil will be the one denied. The devil who says, you can't have it, you don't qualify, and I'm going to keep you in bondage. You can just deny him of everything he wants to hold you in and go ahead and be blessed anyhow. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just something about a self-righteous, pharisaical attitude that those people never see the glory of God. But people that say, I've messed up, be merciful, the glory floods in on them. The goodness of God floods in on them. The delivering power of God floods in on them. And the self-righteous people walk out of the church with their noses in the air saying, I've been in this church for 30 years. God never blessed me like that. And there's another little line under that. Amen. That you don't get blessed because of all your self. Amen. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The glory never shows up in the house of a self-righteous man. No flesh can glory in his presence, the Bible said. 1 Corinthians 1:29. No flesh can glory in his presence. You can't glory and bring up how you did this and how you did that and you don't do this and you don't do that. I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't run with the girls that do, you know. You can't bring up all that and see the glory. How'd they see it in 1 Chronicles 5? Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Amen. In other words, if you want the glory of God, you're going to have to take your fingerprints off all the blessings that are in your life. I have this because I did that and I. Amen. Listen, whenever you give a testimony, be careful who you're glorifying. Make sure it's him that gets all the glory. Make sure it's not you and what you did that gets all the glory. Amen. I don't know. I'm about ready to shout. I'm about to shout out of my skin. Amen. Whatever you have or received by faith, you only got it because he gave it to you. If he wasn't merciful to you because of the blood of Jesus, you would have nothing. But failure, defeat, hindrance, guilt, the curse, judgment, and hell. Amen. Well, I gave $100,000 to the building fund. I want a front row seat. I want recognized. I'm somebody now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just don't glory in it. Well, look what I did. He's the one that blessed you with it to be able to give it. So you ought to give it because And you ought to give it and say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures. Look at where I was. I was nothing. I had nothing. And I was going nowhere. And I was bound by sin. And it was robbing me of my family and my prosperity and all of that. And God was merciful to me. And he was merciful to show me how to turn it around. And he gave me all this. And so I'm going to give it and say, the Lord is good. Look at his mercy. Look at his mercy on a guy that was failing. Amen. Hallelujah. That's different than I want a front row seat, reserve seat. If you want the glory of God in your life, you have to say when you give it, the Lord is good, and look at his mercy on me. Look at his mercy on me. I remember where I was. Amen. Romans 3:27 says that the boasting is excluded. I'm paraphrasing Romans 3:27. As boasting is excluded by the law of faith. And if you look at the context, that's verse 27, and you go back to verses 25 and 26 down in through there, it talks about in 25 that God set Jesus forth as a propitiation for our sin. In other words, because of the blood applied, and because Jesus' blood reconciled, the word propitiation means reconciled back to favor, reconciled back to fellowship. Because the blood was applied, Jesus' blood was applied, that because of that, we didn't earn what we got it just simply by receiving it, by faith. And he said, that law does away with boasting. See it? Romans 3:27, if you turn there, you can see it. He said, the law of faith brings us into total dependence on really his mercy and his goodness. The blood alone is what got us what we got. We just simply received it, which is a necessary thing. We have a part. But we wouldn't have been able to do that if it wasn't for what he had propitiated or what Jesus' blood had done. Why stop at salvation with that? What about the rest of all the things that are in our lives? Huh? Mm-hmm. On your worst day, or on your best day, come to the throne of grace to receive the mercy because of the blood, not because of all your good. You know what I mean by that? Amen. Hallelujah. You didn't get where you are because you were careful to do everything just right. Huh? You didn't get where you are because everything's right now. Amen? No, somebody was merciful to you. And I'll volunteer his name. Jehovah God. The Lord God Almighty. Jesus come in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to stay in a place you're constantly rejoicing because he's merciful. The devil can't stand it because he's the one that's the accuser of the brethren. And he goes, it makes him mad because he's the one that wants to always remind you of your failures. And you say, but the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. You found out about the love of God. Now, can I take you through some things real quick before we go here? Amen. Hallelujah. Our faith is in the blood. Go to Romans 3. If you turn there in verse 27, you saw that verse, but go to Romans 3:25. I'm going to read it in the King James and then the Amplified. Can you give me another minute or two or three? Romans 3, verse number 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. What's your faith to be in? In his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins and that are passed through the forbearance of God. All right. Our faith, God set Jesus forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now listen to the Amplified. It says, whom God put forth before the eyes of all, now catch this, as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood. The cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith and on not. All right, so the Bible in the King James says that God set forth Jesus to be a propitiation through his blood. The Amplified says, as a mercy seat and propitiation. Now, what on earth is he talking about? You have to understand the Old Testament. Go real quick to the Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Without going into it all, and we could go through Hebrews and look at it, and Exodus and look at it. I did a lot of preparing on this weekend, and I was going to say delicious. It blessed me. Spiritually, it just, whoa, sooky, give me another heaping plate full of that. But the basic truth I want you to see here is in Exodus 25:22. Therefore, I will meet with them and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubs which are upon the ark of the testimony, and all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. All right. Notice God said, this is where I meet with men. Here's where I meet with men. Somebody said, well, we better go find that Ark of the Covenant then. Well, wait a minute. The New Testament said, we already read it. Remember in Romans, we already read it. God set Jesus forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. It means reconciled to faith, fellowship and favors through faith in the blood of Jesus. All right? Now, the Amplified adds the word mercy seat. The reason it was that the word mercy seat was added was because in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, one time every year, the high priest went in with the blood of an animal and sprinkled blood on that Ark of the Covenant that had the cherubs over top of it, and sprinkled blood on that, and their sins were atoned for another year. And God said, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. In heaven, there is a throne. There is an Ark of the Covenant before God, and the blood of Jesus was applied to the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, and God lives in constant view of the blood.
Yes. Amen.
God in heaven lives in, when he looks at you, he looks at you right through the blood. He lives in constant view of it. Therefore, he lives in constant view of his mercy on man through the blood. He's in constant view of his mercy on man through the blood. Now you can see why I didn't want to quit right away. That's the fulfillment of what he did back on the Day of Atonement. Once every year, the high priest went. Hebrews talks about this over and over again. You ought to go read Hebrews. If you want a bedtime snack before you go to bed tonight, go read Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. And if you don't shout before you go to bed, you need to quit shouting forever. Quit trying to shout forever, because it will make you shout. Hebrews is all about the blood. The blood of Jesus. The Old Testament was types and shadows. Jesus fulfilled it all. And what he said here is this place of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. Notice what he said in verse 22. This is Exodus 25, verse 22. There will I meet with thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubs. God said, I set up a meeting place. I set up a place. Man wants to meet with me. We talk over the blood. We don't talk anywhere else. One place. One place over the blood. Because that's what reconciled us to God. Not our good works. Over the blood. Which speaks of his mercy. Notice it's called, where the blood was applied, was called the mercy seat. It used to be a judgment seat. Now there's blood there, so it's a mercy seat. Hallelujah. And his blood speaks something different than the blood of Abel's. Remember that? Blood of Abel called out for justice. It called out for vengeance. It called out for, something to be done to rectify a wrong. Because Cain had killed him, So there was a wrong done. Jesus' blood says something better. It doesn't speak of a call for judgment. It calls for mercy. Glory to God. How can you sit there like that? What is wrong with you?
Hey!
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, I set up a meeting place with man. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 says, because of all this, 19 through 23, let us draw, having their boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. By a new and living way that he has prepared for us through the veil that it says, having a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. He went into the heavenly holy holies and put his blood there. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Not sheepishly, but in full assurance, because the blood's there. The blood's there. And it's saying something all the time to God. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And you need to learn to tune in to the frequency that the blood is broadcasting on. Mercy. 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 Hallelujah. Because the blood is there, we have a meeting place. We have a meeting place with God. We had have a meeting place in the presence of God, in the glory of God. See, that Holy of Holies is where the glory of God was. We have a meeting with him, a meeting place. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, it was a geographical place. In the New Testament, it is the place called faith in the blood. And man can go to that place from any place on earth through faith in the blood, which is faith in his mercies. If it wasn't for the blood, we're done. But we thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. The mercy seat is anywhere there's faith in the blood. That's what he said in Romans 3:25. Amen. Hallelujah. In any situation you're facing in any area of life that redemption covers, learn to say, I plead the blood. I call on the mercies of God in this situation because of my faith in the blood. You ever heard the old timers say, I plead the blood? You ever heard that term? They had faith to call for mercy through the blood. And listen, the blood doesn't just cover forgiveness. The blood speaks of redemption. Any area of your life that's redeemed, you read in the Bible, I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from my past. I'm redeemed from mental oppression, destruction, and all those things. Any area that has been redeemed, the blood can be applied to that, and you get mercy in that area. I've needed mercy at times in my finances. And I called out for it, and boy, God, I don't know if I've ever had a prayer answered so quick. Something about calling on the mercy of God, he delights in it. He delights. He said, bam! Yes. Amen. 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 I got to quit. I'm not done, but I got to quit. Did you get anything out of this? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, I'll meet with you from above the mercy seat. That's where, now listen, the mercy seat, listen, Hebrews said, 4:16, we read verse 15, you know, he's merciful, he's compassionate. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities, he said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Say obtain.
Obtain.
Mercy. For any area that we need mercy in. Mercy says, the Amplified said, mercy for our failures. Well, I don't know. I've messed up so much. You qualify. You qualify. I failed. I messed up. You qualify.